You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, any other announcements? Go to scripture reading today is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Okay, well, here we are. Another Sunday comes around, man. It comes around. It's great that it comes around. Unfortunate thing is it's soon over again. So Sunday is the highlight of everything I do, actually, in terms of ministry and spiritual things. And I look forward to my Sundays. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time we've got together, Lord, to open the scriptures. We ask your spirit would work in our lives and help us to understand, help us to witness, and to be more effective Christians in thy sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, the snippets today were on the subject of the out-resurrection. The out-resurrection, fantastic topic. If you didn't follow the snippets, make sure you do online and check them out. We'll be adding all sorts of interesting facts about the Bible through our little snippets. And that one is very heavily Right Division in nature, and brings out Paul's distinctive prison ministry. Now, we've been in this book of Genesis for some time, and we're making our way through. We've looked at Matthew 24, verse 37, which talks about how important it was that you understand the days of Noah if you want to understand the parousia. The parousia is the coming of Jesus Christ according to prophecy. Okay, so when we talk about the parousia, we are talking about the coming of Jesus Christ as Isaiah, as Jeremiah, as all the Old Testament prophets talked about the coming of Messiah. And that's a very important thing, because you'll find that the coming of the Messiah is not one stage. It's a two-stage thing, where he comes as the Lamb, as the one who will be the sacrifice, and then he comes as the conquering Messiah. And so there is a time in between those two events, which we of course are in at the moment. So as it says here, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then after that, it gives you further emphasis about what it means to be in those days, the days that came, and then finalized by the family going into the ark, and then the floods came. And if we go back there, if you just go back into Genesis, and we read some of these tremendous passages, it says this in chapter 8, in verse 20, it says, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast. So this is chapter 8 and verse 20. And of every clean fowl and every burnt offerings, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So you notice, as soon as he comes out, what is it? The sacrifice of these clean animals. And you notice they came in by sevens. And this is I believe this is a nice, clear reference to the importance of those particular animals for sacrifice. And there they are used. The importance of sacrifice is in the scriptures, right from the very beginning. Because how was it that, for example, the original coverings which were acceptable to God were made out of skins? And there was an expectation that the right offering would be brought. So right from the very beginning, there is this idea of an offering, sacrifice. And the Lord smelt a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. That's interesting, isn't it? There's these curses, but he says, okay, it's going to end now. The curses on the ground for man's sake. To me, that's a very interesting thing about the ground, you know, the ground being cursed. I think it's going to be manifested in all sorts of ways in, if you look through the ages, of how man has toiled with the ground and the fact that it's always been a real problem. Today it's a problem in different ways, right? Today it's very difficult for us to get good food that's not been tampered with in some way. As I said, the manufacturers and those who are interested in controlling the food supply are looking at the seed and wanting to put their brand on the seed and stopping people from perhaps having their own supply of seed. They want to say, you've got to come to me to get your seed. And they even produce hybridized seeds so that if you use this seed, all right, it'll produce your corn crop. But if you collect the cobs and then take the seed off those cobs, they're infertile. You can't use that seed to bring up another generation of corn. So where are you going to go to get your seed? Well, you've got to go back to those guys who gave you the original lot, and then you become part of that dependent group. That's good for business, right? Good for business. And so I think there's a lot of issues to do with this. You may realize, for example, that some of the crops that are grown, not all, but some of the crops that are grown are Roundup ready. You know what that means, right? These are genetically modified crops where the seed has been messed with to the extent that those plants are not susceptible to Roundup. So you can just get Roundup spray, glyphosate, and just spray all over the place, all around these plants, and the plants won't be touched with it in the sense that they'll be susceptible to it. But the only thing you've got to ask yourself is, yeah, but you're going to be eating those plants, right? So what's going on there with your genetics? What's going to happen as that source of food is processed by your digestive system and then incorporated in the cells of your body? What's going to happen? Have you noticed the court cases while we're on the subject? Court cases about glyphosate. Now there's plenty of court cases where people are being paid out millions of dollars because of cancers they've got, all kinds of terrible cancers which go back to the spraying of Roundup. When I was in New Zealand many years ago, there was an ad on TV. I remember it was pulled. You won't find it there now. But for a time, there was an ad on TV in New Zealand, and it showed a young family, right? A young family that had a nice picnic on some nice, beautiful green grass, and there was a nice little lake there. And then beside them, here was a guy with a pump and a hose, no mask on his face or anything like that, and he was spraying with Roundup. And the idea of the ad was, nothing to worry about here, man. Nothing to worry about here. Here they were, eating their food. And just next door was this guy with no mask, just spraying like crazy, spraying all this stuff. Now what do we know about it? Causes cancer. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to be careful with stuff like this. So here it goes on. It says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing, as I have done, while the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Very strong statement here about this. And I think we're going to come back to this particular idea. And then in chapter 9, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And so you notice chapter 9, isn't it interesting how this goes? You've got this fruitful, be fruitful. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air. Okay, so he then goes on, talks about how that there would be certainly the dread on these animals, and they would go out and use them for food, etc. Now, we talked about that before. But I want to take you a little bit further into this idea. What am I doing? So coming over here, we have talked about this idea of Paul and the fact that there was a twofold ministry of Paul. And this is one of the big keys to understanding the Bible. It's one of the best things that I've ever learned in the Scriptures. One of the greatest things. I mean, the greatest thing, of course, is salvation, to know that you can have your sins forgiven. But then you've got to ask this question. Okay, good. Great. Now you're a child of God. You're saved by grace. And then what? Well, if you watch the snippets, you saw what would be. You're supposed to then, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man. And then it goes on. For we are his workmanship, created unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. Ah, okay. Well, that's a nice idea. But what is this? What is this program of good works? How are we going to administer our life in a way that's meaningful before God? So the thing we've got to ask ourselves, okay, we're saved by God's grace. Now what, God? Now what? How are we going to live our lives now? That's a good question, man. And this solves a lot of that. That answers a huge part of the questions that I have in relationship to that particular issue, because it's to Paul the prisoner that we learn these things. So last time we talked about the appearing, right? The appearing is such an important thing. The appearing relates to a special hope which is ours. Let's just quickly look at this, and while I'm going to move on from this, but if you go over to Philippians, now if you want to know about Philippians is all about running the race, just like Hebrews is to the Hebrews. So Hebrews to the Hebrews is Philippians as it is to the Gentiles. So if you want to know about stuff pertaining to running the race, you need to go to Philippians. And if you go to Philippians chapter 3, says this. It says in verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. You see, the concision were those that were involved with this idea of mutilating people through circumcision to try and conform them to the dictates of being like a Jew, right? And so Paul talks about them as being the concision, these mutilators. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You see? See how these words, they go together? You see, people today, what they're doing to try and become good workmen and please God is they see Israel and they want to be a part of Israel. And so what do they want to do? Well, let's be like the circumcision. And they take on things of the flesh and try and conform to the flesh to become like Israel. But you see, if you follow the progress of doctrine as you see it developed in the Scriptures, then you know that Israel is certainly important, but that Israel said no to God. And Israel said no to God once too many times. I mean, God's grace is wide, man, but it does come to an end. It will come to an end. And Israel said no to God. Well, you can see what happened back over here. They progressively went against Christ until finally they had him crucified. And that was a part of the purpose of Christ. And God used their rebellion to have this done. And Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then The Spirit was given in Acts chapter 2 in a most miraculous way, in such a way that it came and remained. You see, the Spirit of God came before, right? The Spirit came and left. You'd find this if you go back into the Old Testament. The prophets would have the Spirit of God come on them, and they would prophesy, and they would speak in tongues and do all sorts of things, and all sorts of wild things, man. I'm talking about wild, wild things. And then the Spirit would go, come and go. Come and go. But what happens here, as it was prophesied by John, it would come and remain. And so you find the Spirit is here in a most miraculous way. So that all sorts of miraculous things were done, which would confirm things. The Spirit would confirm the truth of God by all kinds of miraculous things, including resurrections. Including resurrections. People would come up out of the grave. People would be healed, really healed. We're not talking about fakery. We're talking about the real item, real things going on here that are really amazing. But as time goes by and you find that Paul is raised up, the chief leader of the rebellion, the rebellion, the rebellion, and he was the chief leader against the Christians, and a part of the rebellion against the Christians. And he was saved. He was saved in a most miraculous way, where Jesus actually appeared to him with this blinding light, and he had to be led around, and finally he gained his sight. And off he went witnessing to small and great about the things to do with Jesus, the Messiah. And we read in the book of Acts that he spoke none other things than those which the prophets of Moses said should come. That's the extent of his ministry. Why, he was involved with a confirmation. Did he use signs and wonders? You bet your life he did. Of course he did. Yes. He used signs and wonders. He said himself that wild tongues was not the greatest sign. He said, forbid not to speak in tongues. Don't forbid it. Now there's greater signs, greater wonders. There's rules for speaking in tongues. There's rules for but he didn't go against it. But as time goes by, you find that all sorts of things show that Israel is not in a healthy state. Israel is rebelling against this. We find in Acts 28 there is this rebellion against the message. And finally what happens is later on, there is this revelation of the mystery given to Paul the prisoner. And so here begins this new ministry. And so along this time, what do we have? Well, in this time here, Paul is writing epistles. Right? Paul is going to be writing epistles. You know, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Hebrews. These epistles are being written during this time. And therefore, you cannot divorce them from the context of the book of Acts. They will conform to the Acts. Don't try and separate. Just because it's Paul doesn't mean he's writing to us in this age. Why? Because that was his ministry in the book of Acts, to go to the Jew first. He used the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. So during this time, what was he doing? He was waiting for the Lord from heaven. And all that was required was the repentance of Israel. If Israel would repent, the Lord would return. Well, did they repent? That's a good question. Because if they don't repent, my question is, then what? Right? If they don't repent, then what's going to happen? Well, we know what happened, my friends. Paul the prisoner. The prisoner, man. Paul the prisoner. To Paul the prisoner was given fresh revelation. And he then passes that on to us, which we read right here. And it says this. If you read here in Philippians 3, verse 5, He says this, and I'll reread from verse 4 because we need this. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. You want to trust in the flesh as being a Jew? You think you're going to be satisfying God by declaring your Jewishness? Now get this straight. I'm not anti-Jew. I'm not an anti-Jew person. You know, I'm not out to say, oh man, I hate the Jews and I'm on Hitler's side. No, absolutely no way on the wide world. Right? I'm just pointing out to you that people are making huge mistakes in trying to identify with a group which is not their group. We are Gentiles. You're not going to change that. I'm happy that I'm not a Jew. I'm happy that I am a Gentile, because that's the way I was born, and God said the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, right? So guess what? I'm in a good position. You know? I'm in a good position here. Circumcised the eighth day. Whoa, man. Of the stock of Israel. Of the tribe of Benjamin. Hey, man, this guy didn't make it up like the Rastafarians. You know about the Rastafarians, don't you? You seen Rastafarians here in Oklahoma? Maybe not. In New Zealand, they're everywhere. Oh, man. You notice how we're seeing a lot of weed being sold in Oklahoma these days? Every shop is starting to come up with, you know, cannabis everywhere. You know? Well, this is old news in New Zealand. In New Zealand, man? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the Rastafarians were ahead of everyone else. Because it is God who maketh the herb. The herb. He maketh the herb. You know what I'm saying? Now, myself and this, you know, lovely old lady, we used to go door to door. You know, crazy enough to go door to door in an area where the Rastafarians were. So we knock on this door, bang, 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 and to the door comes this guy. You know, he's bouncing around like this, long hair, man, just about down to his backside, and draw, you know, these locks, and they put grease in these locks, you know. And he said, "Yeah, man, what can I do for you?" And I said, "Well, I just want to come and talk about the Bible with you." "The Bible? Come on in." So we go into this hell. Man, the stinking here of weed has just about knocked me over backwards. I think I had a dose of smoking marijuana in the first couple of breaths I took. You know? Anyway, we go in there and they ushered us into this room and it's dark. And now we came out from a bright, bright light. We come into this thing. It's dark. And I thought, okay, what's going on in here? You know, and I was a bit worried about this because I had this older lady with me. And what's going to go on here? And as my eyes began to be, you know, accustomed to the dim lighting, I saw that all around the walls, there's guys there. And all you could see is this red ember, you know, sucking down the joints, you know, all around the sides of this room. It's all dark. And the place is just thick with smoke. You know, and you know, we were talking to these people, and finally they turned on a light or so, and they came down from standing up on. I don't know what they're doing on the walls, man. I don't know why. Maybe they're trying to get to the ceiling where there's even more smoke, so they can, you know, really double up on the stuff. But anyway, they came down, and we were talking to them about the Bible, and they said, "Oh yeah, we are Jews." How did you get to be Jews? Well, it is 12 months, and we're born in a month, and this month here means, you know, yeah, I got to be a tribe of, you know, Benjamin. Yeah, oh, and this one over here, he's a tribe of Judah, depending on what month you're born in. So these guys, they're on the weed, and they're Jews, somehow, by their birth date. You talk about deception. Now look what Paul says here about this attempt. Putting aside the weed. circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Oh, man, this guy is the Jew of all Jews, man. Wow, just hasn't got the weed yet. Now, watch this. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Man, he's follower of the law. Now, watch this. Verse 7 and 8. Watch this. This is where all of your nonsense about religion is thrown into the right place. Watch it. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them, look at this, but dung, refuse, man, that I may win Christ. Oh, man. What's all this stuff about the concision, the mutilators, trying to be circumcised, trying to do all these things, trying to be Jews, when you're not? He says, dung, trash, refuse, man. That's what it is. Now look what he says in verse 10. And this goes back to the snippets. I told you, friends, you got to get into the snippets. The snippets. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And by the way, when you listen to the snippets, you're getting some groovy music. And the fellowship of the sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Look at this. That I may know him. Do you notice the language that's being used? See back up here in verse 8, it says, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge. The excellency of the knowledge. See, this is what we are trying to bring people to, is this excellency of the knowledge. And you're not going to get it unless you understand this material about who Paul the prisoner is. Otherwise, what you're going to do is, you're just going to be living in the dung, man. That's what it's going to come down to. Oh, man, I don't know whether I should tell you this joke or not. Maybe it'd be smart for me not to tell it. Should I say it, Sibby? No. She says no. That's probably a good idea. So I'll take that advice. But, you know, my mind is this way, and I just got this image in my head, and it's just there, and it is funny. But it's possibly not the right thing to say, so I'll keep that away. Okay. You want to hear about it privately, I'll tell you. Okay. Now, so it says this. It says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, now he's going on about the power of his resurrection in the context of excellency of knowledge. Oh, well, what is unusual about Jesus' resurrection? Well, if you read in Mark 9, you'll get the whole picture of it. But I'll give it to you because the disciples were wondering about it. No question. I mean, there's no question about the resurrection. The resurrection is just nothing, man. No big deal. Everyone believes back then on the resurrection. The resurrection, of course. Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection. The ones that were off target were the Sadducees. But the Pharisees, man, they're not a problem. And the idea here is that there would be a general resurrection, right? You gain life from God, and that life is exhibited in a resurrection. Cool. But Jesus, in Mark 9, he talks about a special resurrection that he himself would undergo. And it was a resurrection out from among the dead ones. Out. That is, the others were left behind. He would come up and he would leave the others behind. See, that's not the general resurrection. The general resurrection is all those who would be resurrected come up together. A general resurrection. But Jesus, when you look at Jesus, he comes up out of the tomb and he leaves others behind. It was an out resurrection. Out. Ex anastasis. Anastasis is a resurrection, X is an exit. It's an out from among the dead ones. Okay. Now look at this. Look at this. Verse 10. Read it again. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. Well, that's following Jesus, right? This has to do with perfecting your faith with works. This has to do with going on for a prize, earning something by doing the right things. And he says, verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead. Now, it says the resurrection of the dead, but the word that's used there for resurrection is the out-resurrection. Ex anastasis. That is, he was looking forward to a special resurrection, not the general resurrection. No, he was interested in a prize, man. And the means for obtaining that prize was an out-resurrection. Different from all the rest. Now, I've heard people go on with this passage and say, see, Paul believed in work salvation. No, he doesn't believe in work salvation. He believes in works for a prize. And a gift is something you cannot earn, and the gift of eternal life is that. It's a gift. You cannot earn it. This is something you can earn. And he says this. Look what he says. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. What was his state? His state then was that he believed he had not attained to it. You see? You see how important this is? It's very important that you get the context in many ways. Right? Many, many ways. So he goes on and he says in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize. Aha! The prize! Of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on in verse 15. He says, let us therefore as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. And he talks about unity, etc. But the important point about this is that he did not believe at that time he had attained to this, but he was a saved man. He was a saved man. He had the promise of life. Yeah, the general resurrection would be his. But what about the special one? The special one he had to earn. So with us, right? We have to earn that. If we want to be placed in a special part of God's wider kingdom, well, I'm afraid you're going to have to earn that place. The fact that you have a place at all is a gift. You're going to come up and you're going to go there, right? Well, where is he going to put you? Where? Well, that's going to depend on how faithful you've been, according to the word rightly divided. That's why you've got to get this knowledge clear in your mind. Now, you know, I just ran a rabbit, as I often do. And this is where I was going to go. See, this was where we're supposed to sit. But instead, I chased a rabbit. I was a good rabbit. And I was going to bring you to this passage here in Luke 21. Oh, we've got to get... See, it's going to take us all class next time. I mean, it's just going to be this thing we've got to live on for a whole class period. Right division class every Sunday. And we've got to live on that, and then we've got to examine these passages, right? And what do you notice about these passages? Look at these passages. 1 Corinthians. Oh, that is an Acts epistle of Paul. And what you're going to find is that this example series comes right out of Paul's Acts ministry, and it conforms perfectly with the Lord's prophecy. It conformed perfectly with it. And if you understand the scriptures rightly divided, this is going to make beautiful sense. And when you understand Paul and the ministry given to him as the prisoner, then whammo, you talk about new light. New light, man. rock and roll, man. We're talking about serious rock and roll. We're turning the volume right up. We're cranking everything, man. And you can just feel those waves, man, as they come through. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, I got a Paul Reed Smith guitar at home, man. I'm just waiting till I get that amp cranked. I mean, the whole road is going to hear this thing, man. You know what I'm saying? Because this is cool stuff. Now, we're out of time. Apologize for not getting to this. I did run a bit of a rabbit here. But it was a good rabbit. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time. And Lord, for all the great truths that are in the Scriptures. And we ask, Lord, that as we think about the time that has gone by and ages past, we see the marvels of Thy purpose and this great purpose that You've got in Paul the prisoner. We ask, Lord, that we would perfect our faith with the right kind of works, not by trying to be members of some Jewish community, but rather to take what is as given directly by Jesus Christ to Paul the prisoner and then run the race before us. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.